You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Les Hang Out, the podcast that just wants to know, did you take her to the pier in Santa Monica, forget to grab a jacket, wrap up in her because you wanted to? I'm just curious. Is it serious?
Curious?
I'm just curious.
Like, curious is an understatement.
Is it serious? I feel like it's an appropriate song for a show where people are watching their significant other date a whole bunch of other people. Anyways.
It's very apropos.
From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes Foster.
And from the East Coast, I'm Ellie Brigida. To those of you who have been with us through this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're excited to have you here. Here's what's happening this week.
This Week in the Lesdom.
This Week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. We have very exciting news because we got a new Trova trip sign up, which means we have one more person coming with us to Croatia. Four spots left. So if you want to be one of those four people, sign up at bit.ly/lesdocroatia. The last day for you to sign up is July 23rd.
Gotta get on it. It's coming up fast. We also want to remind everyone that in season 6, we have been releasing monthly bonus episodes for our Patreon supporters. Our last one that just came out was on Ammonite. We had lots of very positive feedback.
We love the movie.
It's my favorite film. And our next one's going to be coming out at the end of the month on June 26th. That will be on the movie Life Partners. If you want to catch all of those, you can find them on our Patreon. You can join at bit.ly/lespatreon.
You know what's so funny, Lee? This just reminded me of something. Somebody reached out to us and was like, they thought we were saying bit.ly, like L-E-I-G-H.
It is bit.ly,
L-Y.
So sorry for
B-I-T
that.
Dot L-Y.
Not named after me, sadly.
But I like that. If we had like legit,
it should be
shortened links that just had your name in them.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'm here for it.
In the Greater Les universe, the first one I'm going to talk about because it's very relevant to my life. But the Bay Area is getting a soccer team, like a national women's soccer league team.
A lesbian soccer team, or like all soccer teams are lesbians?
All soccer teams are mostly gay. Yeah. So I think it's going to be like the 14th. An NWSL team or something. I think it's going to be down in San Jose. So it's not like actually super close to me, but I'm very excited because that means we can start taking the girls to soccer games and be like, who cares about men's sports? Nobody in this house. Let's go watch women play soccer.
I love
hot,
that.
Hot stuff. Very
love
excited.
Love that for you. Also in the Greater Les universe, the Bottoms trailer just came out. This movie looks hilarious.
So funny. I'm
this
so excited.
This is everything I've ever wanted. It gives me Booksmart vibes.
Yes.
Like, it's like that. I'm like, please pump this into my veins.
A gay high school teen fight club is like, that's
exactly
my dream.
What I want. Also, fun fact, Io, who plays one of the main leads, I did theater with her for years.
Yeah.
She's from Boston.
She's incredible. We've been watching her when
she's
she was
so funny. She's so funny.
She's so funny. I'm so excited to see her continuing to climb up into other things because
she's crushing
great.
It. Yes.
Yeah. Also in the greater Les universe, some of you, for not relevant to today's episode at all, may have heard of a little show. It's called The Ultimatum. It's on Netflix. It was like a little bit gay.
Little.
A little bit.
Slightly gay.
Know? So the
full
the
of
finale,
queer love.
The finale happened last week, and I feel like it should have been like a gay national holiday. It just felt like everybody
for me it was.
Everybody was waiting in anticipation, edge of our seats, watch parties left and right. We had a watch party. It was a great time. Obviously, we don't need to say too much about it right now because we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. What a show. That's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. We are so excited to bring you episode 21 of season 6, The Ultigatum.
Why didn't they just call the show The Ultigatum? They missed,
really a missed
an
opportunity.
Idiots. No.
Yeah, listen, we just felt like every other queer person over the last, couple weeks, we've been talking about nothing
else. We can't stop. Cannot
so
stop.
We thought we would subject all of you to Ellie and I in real time.
Talking about the ultimatum.
All of
queer
our
love.
Thoughts on
Let's
the ultimatum.
Freaking go. We want to construct this in a way to talk about the show itself, but also talk about all of the things that come up in the show that are like super queer or super specific to queer relationships or just like sort of, discuss the psychology of the ultimatum, which was wild to watch. But Lee, what are your thoughts just like on the show in general? Like when you started watching it, how did you feel? How did you get into it? Did you see a video clip? Like, why did you decide to start watching The Ultimatum?
Yes, I saw all the promo leading up. And I mean, you know how bad Kelsey and I are at like staying on top of current media. We made so many poor choices in our lives over the last few weeks because
just to watch it.
Yeah, you'd watch an episode and we're like, I have to watch the next episode. And we're like, we need to get in bed. Like, we have children and jobs and like we are not people who can afford to stay up as late as we did for many nights watching this show. But we did anyways. And that is the choice we made. Poor choices. But it is. Listen, it's reality television. It's trashy. It's chaotic. You know what you're getting into. But we kept getting sucked in. We were so sucked in.
Couldn't stop.
You binged like so many episodes in one night.
Like
how many
episodes
did you watch that night?
6 episodes in one night.
You're insane. We'd been watching it for days and you caught up in one night. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. I think I went to bed at like 2:30 that night or something. Like I couldn't stop.
And where were you emotionally after 6 straight episodes of this show?
A wreck. I was a wreck. I was all over the place. You're just like, what? Like, the first few episodes, you're like, I think I know where this is going. And they're like, what the? I had no clue this was going to go here. And then the finale was the most shocking of all because it was just so shocking. So also, if you have not watched...
There will be spoilers.
Yeah, if you have not watched The Ultimatum Queer Love, there will be spoilers. Like, we just have to talk about everything that happens.
Yes.
So
maybe
if you haven't watched it, go watch it and come back and listen to this episode.
And maybe I'll use that as a good opportunity to say, if you haven't watched The Ultimatum yet and you are not a reality TV person, that's okay, that's fine. I'd like to give a quick overview of the premise for anyone who's not familiar with it so that everyone can sort of follow the discussion we're having. So the premise of The Ultimatum, this is like their queer season, but it's a show that has had other seasons with straight couples prior to this. And so the format of the show is you have 5 couples. One of the partners in the couple is ready to get married. They are like, I'm there. I want to spend our lives together. Why aren't we getting married? The other partner, maybe not ready yet. And so what they do, they find these 5 couples. One of the people issues an ultimatum. You say, hey, we're going on this show. If at the end of this show we are not engaged, like we are breaking up. Like this show is like shit or get off the pot for your relationship.
Shit, get off the pot or get on someone else's pot.
Yes. And so, of course, on that note, so in, of course, the most reality dating show premise that you could come up with. What they do with these five couples to decide if they want to get married or not is you make all of them break up. You all date within those couples for a week. And then at the end of the first week, you pick someone to move, someone who is not your original partner. You move into a trial marriage for 3 weeks with them. You live in an apartment together for 3 weeks. Then you have 3 weeks of a trial marriage with your original partner. So now you move back in with your partner for 3 weeks into an apartment. And then at the end of that, you have to make the decision. Do you propose to your partner? Do you leave single? Do you leave with the person you did your trial marriage with? There's options, you know, but it's just that's the premise. That's the show that we're discussing for anyone who hasn't seen it and wants to follow along the conversation. I just wish everyone could see Ellie's like body, full body reactions to just even like discussing the premise as I'm saying this out loud. Ellie's having an experience over there, everyone.
The premise is
insane.
I can't even like my whole thing is like anyone. I'm sorry to all of you who went on the show. I know probably we will talk to some of you at some point, but like I just feel like if you choose to go on the show, like there is something fundamentally wrong with your relationship. Not necessarily with you, but there has to be something fundamentally wrong. Like you cannot imagine that going on this show is gonna make you a better partner. Everything about the show makes these people like worse off than they were when they started.
I'm gonna try to devil's advocate us right now, okay? Here's what I have to imagine is the only thing that you could be thinking that would lead you to go on a show like this is you're like, I want to get married. I don't think my partner is appreciating like how good our relationship is. Maybe if they have to be with someone else for 3 weeks, they will more appreciate the things that I bring to our relationship and realize that they do not want to leave the door open to date other people because it is not worth it. That's the only thing I can imagine that you are thinking, because otherwise it makes no sense, right?
It is wild. That
is an idea that I think makes more sense in a heterosexual situation. Like I can see when this show, when you make this premise and you roll this out with straight couples, I feel like that mentality makes more sense to me.
Oh, because we're queer, like living with someone for 3 weeks is way too dangerous. I haven't seen the heterosexual seasons, I don't know if it gets as crazy as it does with this one, but I'm pretty sure that at least one of the couples in the heterosexual one, I don't think they actually left their partner, but they did fall in love.
Wow, wild. I feel like I see it as such a different thing to do with a whole bunch of queer people than it is to do with like straight couples. This is just messy. It's messy.
So messy. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, you basically are like, okay, let's go on the show for what? So it's 6 weeks of the trial marriages plus 1 week of the dating. So let's say it's like 2 months-ish. Let's go on this show for 2 months and let's create a super traumatic experience that we'll never recover from. That sounds like a great thing for us to do. To get married. Let's put ourselves in a situation where we are going to completely traumatize each other.
I mean, it worked out great for everyone, Ellie.
Walk down the aisle. That sounds like a wonderful idea, right? Like, it's insane. It's insane. Let's dive in. So that's the premise of the show, which, first of all, just I think is buck wild. Like, when I saw the heterosexual, when I saw this show and it was not gay, I was like, that show's fucked up. I'll never watch it. Now it turned gay and I was like, I gotta watch it. But let's talk about like some of the things that we saw on the show that are just like larger microcosms of relationships. I think the biggest one for me, and I know I'm maybe not going exactly in order here, is just the concept of like, okay, let's do a trial marriage with a new partner.
Sure.
Right? Like anyone who's been in a long-term relationship should understand, and I feel like people don't. I feel like people still don't understand this concept of like, if I meet someone new that I'm attracted to, of course that will be exciting.
Yeah.
right? There's this whole thing with Yoli and Xander where, like, they live together for 3 weeks. They sleep together. They fall in love.
Oh, Yoli and Xander.
Quote, unquote, right?
Oh,
but I'm
man.
Like, that just,
is,
like, doesn't
I get
compare.
What
you're saying. It does not it compare is... to a long-term relationship. Like, you cannot put those two things next to each other and be like, how do I make a decision
right.
about the amount of intense feelings I feel for someone who I'm basically in the honeymoon phase with
well,
versus my partner
so, okay.
who's been with me through all this shit for years?
But that's what's interesting, because I actually think, listen, as much as the whole Yoli Xander Mal situation was just a cluster.
Yes.
I think there's something interesting to look at in there, because if you look at Yoli's reaction at the end, right? Like, Yoli says yes to Mal and chooses Mal ultimately.
Yes.
Even though
she's in
clearly
love with someone
infatuated
else.
With Xander. And I think it's exactly what you're describing, because when she says it, she's like, I feel like if I'm following my head and not my heart. And I don't think that's true, actually. My take on it is that Yoli was unable to separate the fact that, like, yeah, your early relationship weeks are not your 3 years in relationship weeks.
Yes.
And the reason that you feel a sense of loyalty to somebody and you're calling it, like, not love, but that is long-term
love. Yeah.
committed love, when you're like, I cannot not be with that person, even though I have all these, you know, fun, flirty, exciting feelings for someone else, because the fun, flirty, exciting feelings are not going to be there in 3 years with that person either.
Exactly. Exactly.
That shit goes away. It always will go away. It's not the same. It is never the same. Like, even just
it's
scientifically.
Like chemically. Yes.
Yeah. Like
fucking,
chemically.
Yes.
You will not be in the same relationship with someone after, usually it's like 2 years. I think like two and a half years. Like, chemically, scientifically, your relationship will change because it has to. Your body changes. You're not reacting the same way. And it's like everyone has those friends, right? Like, everyone has those friends who serial date for like 2 or 3 years and break up, and they can
yes.
never get past that point.
And you're like, oh my God. I mean, but this is like a huge rant on society, but I think that's what's severely wrong with our society, which is
yeah.
why I just was watching the show being like, this is exactly what's wrong with our society.
Yes. And this is a show that's designed to like mess with your brain. Right.
Yes.
By being like, oh, let's dangle in front of you those fun early week feelings again, and then ask you if you want to choose the person who doesn't produce
give
them in
you
anymore.
The fun first week
like,
feelings anymore.
And
like,
it's wild. It's a wild idea.
But I'm like, yeah. seriously, like when you look at like, I don't know, like just like look at like all of our grandparents, like they were not madly in love 50 years later. It's not the same feeling. But
yeah.
they like, and yes, like there's, you know, trade-offs we get from like people 50 years ago being like, I guess this is it. But also this may be just me, but I'm like, also I do feel like there's actually something super valuable about the feeling of like, I chose this person and I'm gonna continue to choose this person.
Yeah.
And it's not so easy for me to just like jump between people,
right?
Like, I know there's like obviously like a more like old-fashioned view of that for like the reason that a lot of our grandparents were together for 60 years, even though some of them hate each other, right? But if you don't have that mentality of like, I have to just keep choosing this person because
right.
I chose them initially, and like not saying like you have to choose someone if you're in an abusive relationship, which we can talk about Tiff and
oh, yeah.
Mildred, Love. But just when things get slightly harder.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like where it's like, okay, yes, your relationship is harder right now because you're 4 years in.
It's also, okay, I know it is like a common point of contention for a lot of queer people watching this show, because of course, if you're going to make a queer season of a television show like this, and polyamory
oh my God,
is not
I know.
On the table. Because, okay, here's the thing. I also feel like we should caveat this with, like, I understand how editing works, and I understand many people have many, many thoughts about a lot of things on the show. I feel like it's easier for the purpose of discussion to just take at face value the things that we saw on the season.
Well,
okay?
And I also would say that Yoli at the reunion said she was not trying to be a poster child for polyamory.
No, no, I know that. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just saying, like, I think it's easier for us to say, like, listen, we are not going to try to do, like, a deep dive into the psyche of everyone on here.
Yeah.
Whether or not the version of themselves that they were portraying for the cameras is a realistic version of them or not. What we are going to be doing is taking those versions that they did present and discussing them, okay?
Yes.
So just so everyone knows, please don't come after us with your thoughts on how everyone was really feeling or who they really are. But I just think at face value, as presented on camera, the idea that you had a person like Mal who was like, you're in love with someone else, that's a reality that can happen, that doesn't mean you don't love me, I understand mm-hmm. that, I respect that that's a thing that's going on in your life, I'm not gonna like trash talk that, like that was a prime situation to have the ability to say like,
yes.
Hey, there is a component, like I'm not gonna say this is why people are polyamorous, obviously it's not, but I think that like polyamory does provide, like, if that is something that people are open to, does provide that opportunity to have both the committed stability of a long-term relationship and the fun, happy, flirty new feelings with someone else. And maybe those fun, happy, fun, flirty feelings with that person can also turn into a stable, committed relationship. And, like, that's all possible as well. But I do think that it's like, that was right there. And it's so funny to watch a dating show as queer people when you're like, I get that you're trying to make a queer season of this, but like they clearly should just all three start dating. And I don't understand why. Don't understand why that's not happening. Like,
yes.
What's happening? You can say yes and still date Xander. What's the problem here?
Yes. I mean, you could literally have gotten, you could have gotten married to Mal and then be like, so like me and Mal talked about it, like, you know, Mal's my partner, like I love her, I want to be committed to her, like, but she's willing to like give me the space to also explore this with you if you're open to that, like blah, blah, blah. Like they had
those scenes in the finale where like they just kept pushing Yoli and Xander together again and again and again, and I just kept wanting her to be like, I'm whispering in your ear, like, I said yes, but I'll call you. Like, we talked and we cleared it and it's fine.
Yeah. But that, I mean, that's the thing, right? Is like, I just feel like the show still turned out to be slightly heteronormative.
Oh, yes.
Because,
right?
Because it's like the ultimatum means you can either be this or this. And yeah, there was such an incredible, like, that was like the most fucking incredible opportunity to explore it, especially seeing how Mal initially reacted. Like, I was like, oh, Mal clearly like has friends who are poly, you know what I mean, like
has been to therapy.
Right? Like, I'm like, clearly like this is not a new concept for Mal,
right?
Like, Mal is like, yeah, like this is like a, this is something we could talk and work through,
right? But most importantly, in our relationship, do you want to get married, right? And
yes.
I'm like, that was just, it was such a, it just left me wanting, you know?
Yeah.
It just
But
left
I think
me
the
wanting.
Thing that sucks about that is like, you're like, oh, I wish that she was whispering, but I feel like that's what it was. It was like, Yoli probably is like monogamous, and so she was having a hard time with it, right? So I feel like she got put into this.
Well, Yoli was in love with two people, so she's not that monogamous.
She's not that monogamous, but you know what I mean. But you know what I mean? Like her.
I do know what you mean. I know.
I feel like her brain is like, no, I have to have that one committed partner. Like, she's not really open to being poly, even though she had this like experience that could have opened her up to that. And so I feel like because of that, they had a very traumatic experience because Yoli also wanted her cake. But like, right? Like, she was like,
yeah.
I also feel like she made Mal feel like shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was still talking to Xander, she was still thinking about that, you know, like it was like,
yeah,
not the,
well, and I think you know, forget Yoli not wanting to be the poster child for polyamory, I think Yoli kind of inadvertently became the poster child for like why communication is so important in polyamory.
Yes.
Healthy, honest communication, sort of the linchpin of that working, which clearly
Let's talk about communication, because that's also, I feel like, the reason why so many of these couples like really failed.
Ugh,
is like, and what's crazy to me is that the one couple that was like the worst at communication is still engaged.
As far as we know, I haven't been able to confirm that they're still together.
I'm pretty positive
not.
They're still engaged. Like, I just saw a video
amazing.
They posted on Instagram.
Happy for them.
Yeah.
Well, so let's talk about, because you know what's interesting? From a communication standpoint, I actually think there were a lot of things about the show that did work.
Okay.
Which surprised me.
Like what? Right? Like the conversation like, between Mal and Yoli in the kitchen when Mal was saying
No. Forget Mal and Yoli. Mal and Yoli have nothing to do with good communication in my book. Because mostly on Yoli's side. But I want to talk about some of the things that I do think were helpful from a communication standpoint. And one of the things that I think is it is so common when you're in a relationship for a long time and you've gotten to the point where like you have stopped spit shining yourself up for another person, right? Like there's a certain point at which more of the stuff starts to come out, like each of your baggage starts to rear its head, right? And what happens a lot of times is that sets patterns in place and they become the patterns that you have in your relationship, right? And it's not like you can't work on those patterns independently, whether you're in individual therapy, whether you're in couples therapy, like sure, there's lots of stuff that you can do. But I also think a lot of people just tend to fall into those patterns and not really notice that they're happening. And I do think there was something really valuable actually for a lot of these couples to suddenly be in a position where your pattern is rubbing up against a different pattern. And that,
like the trial marriage partners.
And so the ones for me that I'm specifically thinking of are Sam and Tiff.
Yes.
Sam and Tiff, I actually think was a fantastic trial marriage for both of them.
Pairing, right? Yes. Because Sam was like, I'm going to just be like avoidant and like, whatever my partner wants is like, that's fine. And like, I can just support that. But then she's with the partner who she's not in love with. Right. So she's like, actually, no, fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, right. And Tiff is like used to being in a hyper confrontational relationship. Oh, my God. Lee, I'm sorry. What did you think of the dog scene? We have to talk about that.
We have that to was, talk about
that
the
was
dog
the situation
scene.
That I feel like change their communication also.
So here's the thing. My thoughts on the dog scene are a little clouded now because I've watched a lot of clips on Tiff's TikToks, clips from their podcast where they talked about what was actually happening and like providing a little bit more context for.
So it didn't seem like they just blew up
the
for
dog
no
scene
reason.
As it was edited looked fucking insane. I mean, let's
insane.
Be honest. And I get it. It was edited to look insane. Right.
Yes.
But I also think like I've watched Tiff now talk about how important that day actually was for their trial marriage with Sam and for the two of them communicating. And it's why I think their trial marriage was actually one of the most successful ones that I think of anyone on the show, because I think they both realized, I think that helped highlight for both of them a lot of the patterns that they were in and the things about those patterns that they wanted to help break out of. Right. And I think that actually is very useful. Like if you can realize suddenly that you're like, oh, I am communicating in a certain way, or it's coming across a certain way, or I am receiving things constantly in this way because of the like, you know, patterns that my partner and I have fallen into in our relationship, and realizing that like, oh, actually that's just a pattern that doesn't necessarily have to have anything to do with reality, because now I'm applying it to somebody else and they're not doing
receiving
that. Receiving
it. Yeah, in the same
right.
way.
Like, I just think it was really good for both of them. Like I said, I think Sam learned to stand up for herself way more. And I think Tiff learned that they are constantly on the defensive because they were in an abusive, toxic relationship.
Yes. That's the thing. It's like, oh my gosh. Like, to flip out that hard is because...
Yes.
They are conditioned by
that's a trauma response.
That
man.
Was
like that's
there were a lot of trauma responses
there
on
were
the show. It was
a lot.
But yeah, I agree that like the two of them, and even like at the reunion when like Tiff left and Sam went
and
to comfort
Sam,
her, I was like,
I
that
love
was,
Sam. I'll tell
that
you
was
what,
really a sweet moment, and I think besides, I do feel like now I'm reassessing what I said in the beginning. I do feel like the queer version could have – there are certain parts that work well when the trial marriage partners acted as friends.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
Yes. Yes.
right? Like, I'm living
which
with
I do
a
think
friend
is you're more an, likely to get in a queer
in a queer thing, yeah, because this. Like I would not be like, oh, I'm living with a random man. Let me like talk. Let me like really work through my trauma
Let's
with this
process
man.
Our
like,
feelings. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like I do feel like they got a little like some of the trial marriage partners got like a therapist for the next 3 weeks, like Mel yes. and Lexi and Sam and Tiff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then some people got just like sex for 3 weeks. Some people got looking at each other's bank accounts.
Well, OK, listen. Listen, as much as I don't want to use Yoli and Xander as the poster child for much, I will say another thing that another area where I think this show can have some positive benefits. If this show served nothing other than to get Xander out of that relationship with Vanessa.
Oh my God.
It was all worth it. The season was worth it, everyone. It was worth it. Because again, I think that when you're in a toxic relationship, and then you have the opportunity to finally see what it's not to not be with somebody who is constantly emotionally manipulive,
yeah,
and narcissistic,
selfish and yes,
I feel like that was eye-opening. And so it's like, of course Xander fell hard because suddenly
somebody was asking her what she wanted.
Yeah.
Like, and like she's like, wait, what I want? Like she's like, I've been like Vanessa's little play toy for 4 years.
Oh my God, it's yeah. just it's like it was uncomfortable to watch them together. It was wonderful to watch Xander being able to break free of that. And it's like, listen, if the show did nothing else, credit for that. Credit yes. where credit is due. The ultimatum: you freed Xander, and we thank you for it.
Rough.
All queer people, thank you for doing that, because holy God.
Yeah.
Like, I know every-ish season of a show like this has to have a villain, but like, sweet Christ, what a villain.
It was rough. I will say, and I'm gonna be controversial here, but you already know what I'm saying.
I've
become a bit more sympathetic towards Vanessa.
No,
so
dude. Not
I am sorry.
Years.
I agree. I agree she's crazy, but I think she's going through some real pain. You know? And I think maybe for her,
you and I will agree to disagree.
I think she has real feelings. I think she is selfish. I think she's manipulative. I think she's not a good partner. But I do think she's hurting. So I feel
I mean,
for her on
that's,
that.
That's possible.
That's all I'm
but
saying. That
I think
she's
the
hurting.
Blame for that lies
with herself. I agree, but
own,
I still am empathetic.
On her own shoulders.
I still am empathetic. She got out of a 4-year relationship. That's still rough.
I mean,
that's all
yes, but
say.
I also, it desperately needed to end. That relationship needed
it
to
did.
End.
So it did.
I think that was the right call. Can we talk a little bit about the finale? Because you and I, we watched the finale together with some of our patrons for the watch party, and we were all shocked.
Oh my God.
A little surprised.
The finale, okay, thank God they had that reunion, because the finale felt like I was in an episode of Black Mirror.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I was like, did they just do such a, like, good job of editing this that they like really wanted to like completely trick us that like each of these people were actually in incredible relationships and like they just wanted to put some shit in for drama. I was like, am I losing it? Like, I cannot believe they all said yes.
It was wild because we had sat down before we all, you know, hit play. We had put our guesses in for like who was going to stay together and who was going to propose and who was not. We did not guess that
not,
four of those couples were going to be proposing that day, right?
Not at all. That was wild.
So we were shocked. And then I'm curious, like, what was your experience of coming out of that finale and into the reunion?
Oh my God. I mean, I felt so uncomfortable during the finale. Like yeah. skin crawling uncomfortable.
Was it more uncomfortable than then rolling into the reunion where they had all broken up?
No, see, that's the thing. The reunion was like, oh, reality makes sense. Like, I felt like the finale felt like my whole reality was shattered.
The you finale I mean? Was like gaslighting us all.
Yes.
And then the reunion
was like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. This is what I saw, right? Like, we weren't crazy, right? Like, Tiff and Mildred, like the fact that in the reunion, Mildred literally said she got arrested for domestic violence against Tiff.
It's wild. Well, and listen, I think we should, because we're not going to dive in, everyone, to the kind of deeply traumatic part of that. But we do want to comment on the fact that, like, yes, it is absolutely fucked to bring someone and their abuser onto a reunion show together.
Yes.
And yes, it is deeply fucked that probably the only reason Netflix thinks that was appropriate is because it was the more femme-presenting person in that relationship who got arrested. Because I'm sorry, but you cannot convince me that if they had a straight couple with a man who was arrested for domestic violence, they would never put him in the same room with the woman that he was abusing.
Yeah.
Nor do I think they would have done it if it was Tiff. Like, if Tiff was the person mm-hmm. who was getting arrested with a domestic violence charge and they're the more masculine presenting partner, I don't feel like they would have handled it that way. And that's fucked.
It's
so, like,
so
yes,
fucked.
Absolutely. Fucked up, but sorry, continue your thought.
No. It's super fucked. And also, just like to like also put another thing on it, is it is like, even though the show is so fucked up, I'm like, there is so much real shit on it, right? Where like it is true, like there is a high percentage of same-sex couples where like domestic violence is happening. And it's like as.
No, and they didn't call people, it out at all. They didn't put a content warning. They didn't, like, no one even, the only person who even went after her was Sam, and then no one like mentioned anything about it. I mean, it was pretty.
And I
up,
really, so. Honestly, Yoli defending Mildred really got to me.
Yeah.
That did not rub me the right way. So,
not at all.
That was rough. That was rough.
What do you think about all the other couples that had broken up though?
Honestly, I was like, okay, thank God. Because. Because I did, like, I felt bad for Mal, because I was like, Mal really put everything into that relationship with Yoli, right? Like, Mal was putting everything on the line. Like, she was ready to be committed. And just watching the show, like, and that's why I was like, okay, great. Mal watched the show and was like, oh, yeah, Yoli was not as honest with me. And I'm like, we knew that watching. So it just didn't feel right. Like, it didn't feel right to see Yoli with Mal when, like, you see all this other stuff. I'm like,
it was a really good exercise in why honest communication is important in a relationship. You know what's funny? You know what Kelsey and I were talking about after we watched it is, like, I think it's the wrong premise.
What do you mean?
What we were discussing is, like, because again, I think one of the things that I do think this show just at its core gets wrong is the idea that, like, marriage is just like, just being in love with someone and like deciding to spend the rest of your lives together. And we're like, that's not what marriage is. Like, I'm sorry. And we're like, you're gonna what, live with someone for 3 weeks?
The trial marriage was not a trial marriage. You're right.
Silly.
Like, it didn't.
It's silly.
Yeah.
And so here's what Kelsey and I came up with as an alternative show pitch. Okay. You bring in your couples who are doing the ultimatum. You split them up and you do trial marriages with couples who have been together for like a decade. Each of you gets assigned a partner and a life, where I'm like, I want to see you do
like
an actual
wife's,
fucking
like actual
life
swap.
So it's like,
actual
you don't give
swap,
them
yeah.
an apartment. You say, here's what you both have budget wise. You got to find an apartment and move in the next week. You're doing this with
the game of life in
the game
life.
Of life, right? Like, I want to see you be like, I want to see them partnered up with, like, have one of them live with me for a week. And you're like, okay, man, we are up at 6 a.m. Someone's got to drive the kids to school. Like, who's picking them up? Who's doing this? There's a dentist appointment today. Can you take off work and take them? Like, our taxes are coming up. Where are your forms? Do you have all your stuff? Like, where's your W-2s? Where's your, like, you got to do real fucking life shit, because I'm sorry, but that's what you're actually signing up for. And that's the mistake that I think a lot of people make. And so you're gonna have them do these fucking like play run 3 week things where you're like, here's a free apartment and here's free meals and here's free stuff and here's a camera crew following you around while you go drink some more. And I'm like, is this what you think marriage is gonna be
exactly like? The trial marriages were a joke. That's what I'm like, I agree with you. It's like, what do you mean trial marriage? Yeah, like give them a fake baby.
Yeah, dude.
Like in freaking home ec class. Do you know what I mean? Like, like put them, like the trial marriages were not difficult.
No.
Right? So
I'm
like put
them
through
some
part.
But that's why I think you partner them up with someone who knows how to do marriage, and then you make them figure out if they want to do it with the person they're in a relationship with. Because the problem they were all going into, and the reason that I think, you know, like, not the only thing that factored in, but the reason that I think a lot of them ended up proposing when they clearly should not have been proposing to that person is, like, yeah, you're thinking of the wrong thing. Like, you're focusing on you're answering the wrong questions. And this show is never going to make you think about the right questions, you know, of, like, what do you want your life to look like? And is it with this person that it's going to look like that. And I think many of them, if they had asked that question, would have not proposed at the end.
Well, because also what you're basically doing is putting each of them into a honeymoon period again with right. their partner.
Yes, right? Silly. It's silly.
It's like 3 weeks is not enough time to work through all of the issues you had that clearly made you not want to propose in the first place. Yeah. And then they're just like, but I do know that I love you. And those stupid speeches. I hated the speeches.
Oh, my God. It was so much. It was so much.
And it's really like... The ultimatum as a concept, too, is just so it's like the question is not, do I love you? Do I choose you? Do I want to do life with you? Do I think that all of like our communication is good? Do I think that like we have the same idea of, and our goals are the same and blah, blah. It's do I not want to lose you?
Right, 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 right.
And that question.
Oh, that's such a bad question to ask.
Right. That's a horrible question to ask. Right. Because, of course, yeah. you don't want to lose them. Right. Like nobody wants to lose their partner 4 years.
Yeah.
Right. So like. Yeah, then the fact that all of them say yes really is just, I don't want to break up with you. It's not I want to marry you. It's I don't want to break up. And that's not a great place to be in.
And to be fair, to their credit, if you're making a reality show, it's a great reality show premise because what you're going to do is create drama by sort of manipulating people to propose to people they should not be proposing to and then bringing them back in a year to film them again.
Yeah.
So that you can so you catch can all the fallout.
They broke up, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, in that respect, what a great design show. It is absolutely going to be high drama and, like, and fun, trashy television to watch. I mean, like, all of the stuff we're, like, seriously talking about aside, like, everyone fucking binged that shit out of
oh,
that show.
It was a great
It was, like, addictive
show.
And fun. Of course it was. It's chaotic and dramatic in, like, the most delightful ways.
Wild. Okay, so also Lexi and Ray, because I
had such hope for them, man. I had such
I
hope
was
for them.
Dying at that freaking end card reveal.
We screamed, like we lost our minds. That was like the wildest ending that you could have put up.
Because
there.
They were so like, yeah, we're happy, blah blah blah. Broken up. We're like, wait, what the hell?
Yeah. It
Oh, God.
Hey, but did you know Lexi's already hard launching the new girlfriend? Happy for her. But it was a wild way to end that show. Like, just.
It
holy
was.
Holy God.
Insanity.
Yeah.
Insanity.
Well, and that's another example of, like, I mean, again, we don't super know what happened. And so we're sort of stuck with, like, what the face value story that we've yeah. seen is. But, like, that felt like a situation where, like, Lexi was the one who was on board being like, here's my vision for our life. Here's what I want. Here's what it looks like. And then that did not stay the same, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know what exactly happened in there. But, oh, God, I was rooting for them. I was rooting for them.
Oh, that was wild. But yeah, let's also talk about the one couple that did stay together. And in terms of that, I'd like to talk about codependency.
Oh, God.
So Sam and Aussie, I really can't believe they're still together. I can't.
I mean, I'm going to say that I can only assume that means Aussie has gone to therapy.
I am hoping that that's the case.
Aussie clearly has some childhood trauma.
Yes.
That is being worked out. And I mean, I get torn sometimes because, again, it's like these are people's real relationships, right? Like we
yes,
do
true,
know that
true.
Somewhere deep down. And I think Sam is a really great person.
Yes.
Like she just seemed to,
very
if you
kind.
Ask me, I think Sam was the most well-adjusted person on this
yes.
season. And so it's hard sometimes because I for sure went into the finale with very strong, like, free yourself, Sam.
Yes, like, please.
Free yourself. You deserve better than this. Feelings. And it's hard when, I also do think that, like, they got, as a couple, they got the least amount of
screen time
of anyone on there. And so it's hard sometimes when I know we don't know the full story. So I hope they've worked on things together and found better ways to communicate because their communication, from what we saw on the show, looked like just hot garbage. Looked
also
like such
just
a
like
mess.
To like Aussie literally completely shutting down when any sort of conversation was ever brought up.
Yeah.
Is like,
there was some serious rejection sensitivity disorder happening, and it was wild to watch.
Was wild. Yeah. But I also just feel like, I don't know, just I feel like Sam, it was just like Sam will do literally anything for to make Aussie feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And I'm also like, that's not great either. So I just hope she's still like, I hope that after the cameras turned off, Sam is still pushing Aussie to be more communicative. And it's not just like, oh, well, the cameras are off. Let's go back to our regularly right. scheduled programming. I'm just going to pretend like I have no needs and like try not to trigger you.
Yeah. You know? What's interesting now that you're saying that? I do wonder, I mean, because again, we talk all the time about, you know, we want more representation, we want more queer things. And then you get stuff like this and you're like, do we?
Yeah.
Did we want this? And I do wonder sometimes if it is actually worthwhile to have represented some really common, I think, within the queer community, examples of toxic relationships mm-hmm. and the fact that they don't work out.
Yes.
You know, because realistically, I think it actually was really hard for I've seen a lot of people who were posting like, you know, TikToks and reels and stuff who were like, wow, I did not expect to have such a hard time watching this show.
Because it reminded because them of their own previous relationships or current yeah, relationships.
Or current relationships. And so they're like, they are just like fully blasting this stuff on television. And then you're watching other people do it and you're like, oh, no.
Yep.
Oh, no, I can see that it's bad. And suddenly I'm like seeing stuff in my own relationship. And I do, there might be some value in that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm wondering if there are people watching this who are suddenly realizing, hey, this isn't actually a healthy communication style when you hold it up to some of the other ones on this show. So let's just hope, you know, listen, if you're out there and something in this show kind of struck home about your relationship, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to break up. But there might
but
be
you
some
should
stuff
definitely
you need to
talk
work
about
on.
It. Yeah.
And if your partner's throwing furniture at you, you probably should break up with them. That
yes.
That would be a good idea. That's abusive. Please
that
don't
was,
abuse
yeah,
your
it
partners. Holy fuck.
That honestly is like so scary too. I think like that whole thing really just like, I feel like there's like this whole conception for some people that like love should be wild and crazy and passionate.
The Notebook, you mean?
Yeah, well, like literally somebody said during our watch party, like, do not compare yourself to The Notebook, because they were like, if maybe we'll Vanessa was like, we'll be birds in another life or whatever. And I was like, actually, they are sort of like The Notebook. Like the couple in The
toxic
Notebook
and unhealthy
is toxic, right? Yeah. Like they we constantly fight, but like we have the best sex ever and it's great. It's like,
yes, that's a bad formula for a relationship, especially a long-term relationship.
Yeah,
it's not gonna work.
It's just like, you shouldn't constantly be fighting and breaking up with your partner. Like if you are constantly fighting, you're constantly breaking up, but the only thing you focus on is that, oh, but we keep getting back together, so that must mean something. You should be thinking about this.
And it's why it's funny, because honestly, if this show ended on the finale, it's a hate crime.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's a hate crime to present these couples and then be like, and they all got engaged, the end. But there is something that's like really satisfying about the reunion coming out and having it be like, yeah, actually, it is wildly unsustainable to have this as a relationship. And as soon as you take the cameras off, everything's going to fall apart because everyone is not desperately trying to present the best
version of themselves. Yeah.
For the cameras. And this is a bad relationship that didn't work out.
Yes.
So it's like, as much as, listen, it's reality television. It is what it is. And there are things I hated about this show. I actually think there are some worthwhile things you can get out of watching it if you know what to look for. I feel like everyone who's in like a stable, committed relationship was just like, wow. Wild.
True. I was like,
you're just popcorn. Like,
yeah,
popcorn
exactly.
As you watch, like, wide-eyed
yeah,
in wonder.
Can we get snacks, honey?
Yeah.
You're like, okay, feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah. Every going to bed every night just being like, I love and appreciate you so much.
Yes, yes. I actually wrote this poem for you. Can I read it?
Okay, Vanessa. Okay.
Can I read this for you? No, dead. But yes. I mean, clearly there's some value in the show. We all binged it. We all watched it. It's creating a lot of discussion about relationships, about communication, that I think like this, the heterosexual version was not creating those conversations within the straight community. They did not give a fuck about that. So yeah, I think there's definitely some value in it. And I do, yeah, and I do want to say like another caveat as we sort of sign off. You said this a little earlier, but like these are real people's relationships and we're just like going at it.
And we're going at it based on like highly edited and versions. Altered. Like yes. I've seen so many things that the contestants have put up to with like how clearly edited certain scenes were to like reconstruct conversations into the narrative they were trying to create. And like, we know that.
Yes.
We know that. Okay. Like we know we are. That's why I said like we're doing the face value take on this, even though we know it's made up. But that's okay. It's just that's what we want to discuss is the made up reality that they presented us. It's fine.
Yes. True. And yes, if any of the Ultimatum contestants want to come on Let's Hang Out.
Oh, my God.
We're still open to that. What a wild
Except
show.
Vanessa.
What a wild. Yeah, we won't. What a wild, wild show. Any other thoughts on the show, on your feelings before we go into our Q&A?
My feelings are, I still love trashy reality television when it's gay. Please give us more. That's all.
Give us more, please. Yes. And make us the freaking host. Why?
Yes. Oh,
why
my
Joanna
God.
Swisher?
Get a gay fucking host.
Come
what
on.
What is wrong with you?
Come on. All right. Now we're going to our Q&A. Here we go.
Q and gay.
Question number one, Lee. Would you go on a reality dating show? Yes or no?
No. Never. That's my nightmare.
No. I know. This one in particular.
Yes.
No.
Unless it's because you bring us on to be the stable, committed relationship partners, in which case, like, yes, please let us. Let us whip some young lesbians into shape for marriage. Okay, we can do it.
I still really want to go on a reality show. Like, obviously, will not be a dating show, but like, put me on Queer Eye. Like, please, like, I want to get made over. Like, give me a home makeover. Like, put me on a freaking like the Amazing
Race. Yeah,
you know, like, give us. And they've given us some good gay representation.
Reality
on some of
those other... shows, I would do as a possibility. Dating show, no, man, not a
can't
chance.
Can't do it.
Okay, Ellie, question two. What is your favorite queer dating show? Out of A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila, B, 12 Dates of Christmas, C, Are You the One, or D, The Ultimatum?
It has to be Are You the One. That show was so good. And also just like, it was trashy, but the premise was not as shitty as The Ultimatum. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I actually love the premise of Are You the One.
I think the premise of Are You the One is great. I think like people are not... The reality show concept is not built to traumatize people, is why like The Ultimatum I cannot get behind in terms of like, yeah, great concept for a show, even though like I binge the shit out of it, but less trauma in Are You the One. All right, question number three. What was Netflix's biggest hate crime? A, no pronouns, B, no poly option, C, having Tiff and Mildred on the reunion, or D, straight host?
They're all bad. They're all bad. It is why, like, clearly there were not enough or any queer people involved in the production of this season. I think the biggest hate crime personally was having Tiff and Mildred together on the reunion. That's wild.
Well, yeah,
because
it's just like inappropriate. Like, it's completely inappropriate and irresponsible. Yes. Like, and just like harmful.
In terms of my more like, no, honestly, all of them, they're all so bad. How do you not put pronouns up for queer people? Like, that's wild.
Wild.
The how do you have a straight host? Like,
that
who made these decisions?
Also, how do you have a straight host who's not a queer icon?
Nothing against Joanna, but there's so many choices.
It literally
was
like
Melanie Linsky hosts The Ultimatum.
Yes. Like what are you? Yeah, what are you doing? So
right?
Dumb.
Wild. Okay, question four, Ellie. Would you be the A, ultimatum giver, B, ultimatum receiver, or C, you couldn't catch me on this show?
That is a hard C. I will never go on. Like, I would not go on the show. Like, I could not do the show. No. All right, question number five, Lee. What queer reality show do you want to see next? A, Survivor, B, Big Brother, C, The Bachelorette, or D, any sort of queer game show?
Okay, I feel like there are some fun game show options that we could dream up. I feel like what I think should come next, or like is the next logical progression, is a Queer Bachelorette season.
Mm-hmm.
Like that just feels like it's right there. It's right
there
for the picking.
It's
I feel
ready
like
for us.
We're ready for it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Remember, You can give us your own answers to this episode's Q&A questions on our Twitter at Let's Hang Out Pod.
Let me hear you say hip, 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 we're gay.
We love hearing from all of you. We love continuing to build this community. So we just want to shout out some of our favorite things every episode. And we want to start with a shout out to the podcast Brian Breaks Character. They reached out to us because during Pride Month, they go on hiatus and they wanted to take the opportunity to use that time on their feed to promote queer podcasts that they liked. So they had reached out. We sent them our episode that we did on Crush with Kristen King and Casey Rackham, and they wanted to put that up on their feed. So we just think it's great. It's nice to hear from them and great to see people who are trying to use the opportunity in their you know, soapbox that they have to promote queer shows. So if you want to check it out and give them some listens, you can listen to that episode over on their feed at Brian Breaks Character.
We also have a few Instagram shout outs today because we had some hilarious responses to our Brave Should Have Been Gay. This one's from Marissa DeVoe, which said, is this why I begged to see Brave in theaters as a kid? Is this why Merida immediately became my favorite princess? The world may never know. And yes, Merida is a gay ass bitch.
So gay. We also should shout out Marissa because I know we're saying the name. The name, obviously, for us
means a lot.
A yes. Good friend. And any of you who have listened to The Flame, Marissa was a huge part of getting that pulled together, helped so much with all of the music and all that. And we just love her, and also helped with the 54 Below show. Mm-hmm. Just does a million things. Marissa's great. But the comment also made us laugh. So good, good, good. Another comment that absolutely killed us on that same post was By Spy, who commented, I think Merida's ace. Actually, she's Arrow Ace, but they spelled Arrow like A-R-R-O-W, and it is just like
gold.
Just
gold.
Nailed it.
Yes.
Amazing.
We also, as always, would like to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Tanya Ferguson,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
Adi Benitez,
Fiona W.,
and Sophia Phillips.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Leah Henley,
Andrea Doucette,
and Julia Gonzalez. Thank you all so much for supporting us. We could not make the show without you.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
Check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use for podcasts, make sure you subscribe so you'll be the first to know when new episodes drop.
We also have videos going up on our YouTube channel, so you can subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch those.
Les Hangout is an independently produced show hosted by us with audio production by me. Our production assistant is Kristen Murison, and Twitter shenanigans by Lee Holmes Foster.
If you want to help support the podcast, the first thing you can do is leave us a rating and a review on whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. It helps new people find the show.
If you want to support us, you can join our Patreon at bit.ly/lespatreon. We have bonus episodes for all of our patrons. If you're like, I cannot get enough of these Les Hangout episodes and I ran out, there's no more, you have to join our Patreon to get all your bonus episodes. We have how many now, Lee? 10?
10? I think 10.
We have 10 extra episodes on our Patreon, and you can join for as little as $5 a month. It makes a big difference to us. So we hope you join at bit.ly/lespatreon.
If you want to get some merch, especially now during Pride Month, what a great time to buy some fun queer designs. You can find all of ours and get them on all sorts of different things like tank tops, t-shirts, tote bags, sweatshirts, all kinds of options. You can find it at bit.ly/lesshop.
And remember, we have a queer production company making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings that you can find everywhere at @dollarbeanprod.
You can also check out our website, dollarbeanproductions.com.
You can listen to all the episodes of our first show, The Flame, on any podcasting app.
If you want to help support us in making more musicals, you can also join our Patreon. It helps so much with making sure that we can pay all of our actors and help promote the show. You can do that at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon.
If you want to find us individually, you can follow me at Ellie Brigida on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.